Okay, yeah. My mother-in-law said okay. She has no problem ignoring me, so. Hey, it's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, amen?
Amen.
On this Pentecost Sunday, did you know it was Pentecost Sunday? So Pentecost Sunday is in the church Christian calendar. It's a day to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those that were in the upper room. We celebrate that 50 days after Easter. Can you believe it's been 50 days since Easter? We celebrate God's Spirit living in us. Amen? So that's a beautiful thing. So welcome on this Pentecost Sunday. So we are continuing our series of messages in the book of Matthew. And why do we study the book of Matthew? We study the Gospel of Matthew because, one, it's good news. But, two, it's all about Jesus. And our desire as men and women, I hope, is to be more like Jesus every day. And so how do we become more like Jesus? We become more like Jesus by listening to his teaching, and we become more like Jesus by observing his life, what he did, what he said, who he was. You know, if you want to apprentice yourself to anybody, that's how you do it. You watch them. You learn from them. And so we are spending an inordinate amount of time in the Gospel of Matthew. But that's okay because there's, you know, God's word is new every day. So this morning, as we continue walking through the book of Matthew, we're going to be looking at, continuing to look at the Sermon on the Mount and continuing to look at the Beatitudes. And this morning, Jesus, as we've said, gathered a crowd and he sat his disciples down. He began to teach them, blessed are. And this morning, he said, well, he didn't say it this morning, but this morning we're going to look at the passage of Scripture that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, when you think about that, what do you think about when you hear the word peace? You know, for most of us, we think of the absence of conflict, right? To have peace is the absence of conflict. But as I was thinking about this week, you know, it's been over 100 days since Russia invaded Ukraine. And I was wondering, you know, when the bombing stops and when peace is declared between those two nations, will the people really feel peace? Will they really feel peace? You see, how about us as followers of Jesus? You know, conflict is rampant. Jesus prayed, one of the last priestly prayers he prayed for our unity. The unity of the body of Christ. The unity of the people of God. And unfortunately, one of the enemy's greatest tools is to divide us and to conquer us. And we see a great deal of that in our inside and outside of the church today. And the question we need to be asking ourselves is this: are we looking for a fight, or are we looking to bring peace? In the things that we say, in the things that we post, in the conversations that we have with people in and out of the church, are we looking to bring peace, or are we looking to stir up some conflict? And you may say, well, I'm just speaking the truth. I'm not stirring up conflict. Well, sometimes that doesn't work. But Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called what? Children of God. You see, our desire as followers of Jesus is to be his children, to be his disciples. And oftentimes when we read that statement, we reduce peace to trying to eliminate conflict with others. We read, blessed are the peacemakers, and we think about that neighbor who's always throwing grass clippings on our yard. Or we think about that family member who holds a different political view than us, and every time we have a conversation, it leads to that political pet peeve, and there's some conflict that goes on. Or we think about the fellow believer, maybe, that we are in conflict with. You see, Jesus looked out at the crowd, and he blesses those who would take the challenge to not only live in harmony with others, but to also be a peacemaker. So what does it mean to be a peacemaker? The Greek word for peacemaker is I practiced this over and over again this week, but anyway. But what it means is this. A peacemaker bravely declares God's terms, which makes someone whole. Let me read that again. A peacemaker bravely declares God's terms, which makes someone whole. Now, that could include the absence of conflict, but I think it means so much more than that. Now, by the way, it is the only time this word is used in the New Testament, probably because it was so hard to say, to speak out. But, you know, with this definition in mind, I think we need to expand our understanding of what Jesus meant by blessed are the peacemakers. You see, the world that Jesus came into was not a peaceful place. People lived with sickness, constant fear of war, religious persecution, and the daily struggle to stay warm and to protect their kids, and often a daily struggle to put food on their table. Just to have a moment of peace would have been heaven to them, I'm sure. The same is true for us today, even though a lot of the struggles, a lot of the stresses, a lot of the things that we deal with today are self-inflicted, right? What might that kind of peace look like? The kind of peace that is not just the absence of conflict, but the kind of peace that means that you're whole, that you have no stress, that you have peace. Well, imagine if you lost your child or your grandchild in the grocery store and you frantically went looking for them only to find them standing out looking at the Pop-Tarts longingly. Would that bring you some peace? Yes, it would. Or imagine receiving an unexpected gift, someone shaking your hand, and as they shook your hand, you noticed that there was something between you, and as you looked, it was a $100 bill, just at the time when you didn't have enough to pay your rent. Would that bring some peace? Or how about looking online at your credit card balance, only to find that it had been paid off by someone anonymously? Would that bring you peace? Or how about getting a clean bill of health from the doctor after battling a major illness? Peace. You see, Jesus said that those who bring that type of peace, those moments of peace to troubled souls, will be called children of God. So the question is, what is peacemaking? Well, peacemaking defined. Peacemaking does have an aspect of the absence of conflict, absolutely. But it also is the absence of fear and concern and worry. It's an inner life disposition that speaks of a life that's full of meaning and trust and faith, a sense of intimate connection with the Creator of the universe, with our God. Now, the peace that Jesus was talking about is not that radical 60s version of peace that says, make love, not war. It's not the philosophy that shirks responsibility in the song some years ago made popular by Bobby McFerrin, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." The landlord says the rent is late, he might have to litigate, don't worry, be happy, right? That's not the kind of peace that he's talking about. He's talking about a sense of shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. Shalom is a sense of being in harmony with God that brings harmony to a community, that brings harmony to one's inner self, and ultimately harmony with creation. You see, shalom is an all-encompassing peace that starts with peace with God. It's a kind of peace making that Jesus is calling his followers to, and the kind of peace that he died for. I'm sure we've all seen that bumper sticker that says, "No God, no peace." N-O God, N-O peace. No God, K-N-O-W God, K-N-O-W peace, no peace. You see, Jesus came to be for us the Prince of Peace. But we need to understand that real peace doesn't just show up without a struggle. Because we have an enemy that doesn't want us to be at peace. He wants us to be in conflict. He wants us to be at war. He wants there to be an absence of unity in our hearts, in our lives, with God, with each other. That's his mission. But Jesus came to be the ultimate Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the coming Messiah, and he says, "For unto us a child is born, To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now that certainly was the case with Jesus. He was called the Prince of Peace, but the religious leaders must have seen him as some sort of antagonist. Now I can't help but wonder if Jesus didn't simply wait for the Sabbath to do his healing, to kind of antagonize the religious leaders of the day. It almost seems as if he was trying to make a point that peace with God doesn't come by keeping rules. That it comes by bringing health, bringing wholeness, bringing healing to those who are struggling and who are in need. See, to the religious Jews, Jesus was anything but a Prince of Peace. They chased him around, trying to catch him in some sort of infraction so that they might kill him, appalled by the people that he hung out with. But to those who were looking for a little peace, he gave freely. He healed the sick. We read about the man born blind, or the woman who was who had an issue of blood all her life, or the 10 lepers. You think he brought peace to them by healing them? He pardoned sinners. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery, where Jesus knelt down, and as he had shared with those around ready to stone her, he who is without sin cast the first stone, and one by one they walked away. And Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "They're not around." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." Do you think that brought her peace? He raised people from the dead. Remember Lazarus, the young child who the procession, as they walked by, Jesus felt compassion and touched that child and healed him. He brought joy to the outcast, hanging out with Matthew, who had anything but peace in his life, or Zacchaeus, another tax collector, said, "Hey, follow me, join me. I'm going to eat with you today." He cast out evil spirits. You see, Jesus boiled down the way, his way, to one issue, and the issue was love. Matthew 22, 34 through 39 says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." You see, friends, genuine love for God and a desire to serve Jesus leads to a life of peace. Let me say that again. Genuine love for God and a desire to serve Jesus leads to a life of peace. You want peace? Live for Jesus. Now, does that mean that there's going to be an absence of conflict in your life? Probably not. But it begins with a peace with God. Again, the peace with God that was provided for us by Jesus Christ dying on a cross. The song that we sang about today, the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow. That's where it begins. I love this quote from Mother Teresa. She said, let me go back, "All acts of love are acts of peace. All acts of love are acts of peace." You see, peace with others, love for others, that's the challenge in our world today. Jesus wasn't putting the burden of peace on us. He was challenging his listeners to be peacemakers, to do everything within our power to live at peace with others. Living in such a way that leads to some shalom in others' life. That's the way to be called children of God. It's made easier if we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, we all know people who, no matter what we do for them, what we say to them, there is no peace between us. But listen to the words of Paul in Romans 12, 18. He said, if it is possible, which means it's probably not possible in all situations. He said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So the question is, how then do we bring peace to our world, to our neighborhood, to our family, remembering that shalom is more than just the absence of conflict? How do we bring peace to our world? See, Jesus told a story, and we often look at it through the lens of judgment, the final judgment, and certainly it does talk about that. But what if we looked at this passage through the lens of peacemaking, through the lens of bringing shalom, bringing health, bringing peace to people in our world? The passage is Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and we all are very familiar with this passage, but this is what it says. It says, when he finally arrived, blazing in beauty, and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on the glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him and will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting the sheep on the right and the goats to his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Then he will turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and he will say, get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison, and you never visited. Then those goats are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help you? And he will answer them, I tell you the solemn truth, whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone, being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me. Then those goats will be herded to the eternal doom, but the sheep to the eternal reward. So my friends, what if we looked at that passage not as a passage of judgment saying, oh, I better do those things or God's going to send me to the pits of hell? What if we did that with an eye toward peacemaking? Because I guarantee you that those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, those who are homeless, those who are shivering, those who are in prison, most of whom are living with some sense of no peace in their lives. What if we did those things in our community? Again, not to avoid judgment for ourselves, but to alleviate the suffering and bring true shalom to our community. How would that change our community's perspective toward us as Christians, as the church? How would that change our own perspective of our community as we looked around to see where God would have us meet those needs? It's exactly what the early church did. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 35, it says this, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Look at that, they had unity. No conflict. It says they were all in one heart and mind. It is possible. It says no one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had with great power. And the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the apostles' feet, And it was distributed to anyone who had need. You see, friends, it's easy for us to become callous to the needs of those around us. But Jesus Christ says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who do what it takes to proclaim God's message of hope and peace in our world. You see, when we talk about going out and being people of peace, being peacemakers, we're not necessarily talking about charity. Because charity can come apart from relationship. It's easy to open up our wallets and keep our hearts closed, isn't it? But we're talking about ministry. We're talking about being ministers of peace in our world. And ministry is giving plus relationship, with the motivation of bringing the other person some wholeness, some peace, some relief. You see, Jesus came to bring peace and to call us to bring that same kind of peace to a chaotic world, to the chaotic world that we live in. And it starts with declaring boldly God's terms for peace. And see, God's terms for peace come with an emphasis on relationship. I'll read for you John 3:16 and 17 out of the Message. It says this: this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Did you read that? Anyone believing in him can have a whole and lasting life. That's a life of peace, my friends. And it goes on to say, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again, to bring his kingdom to this world. That's what we're called on as his followers, to do that very same thing. The Prince of Peace came to bring peace with God and peace with each other, to bring shalom in a world that, to provide peace in a world that so desperately needs peace. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so here's a question for you. Are you a peacemaker or are you a peace taker? Are you a peacemaker or are you a peace taker? Are you working for shalom? Are you working for peace? Are you working for hope? Are you working to bring some comfort, some joy, some of what God came to bring us to your community, to your neighborhood? Or are you a peace taker? Always looking for someone to argue with, always looking for a point to be made, always looking for a truth to stand on, to be right, so that others can look at you as some sort of bastion of the right or the left. You see, Jesus came to bring peace, and he calls those of us as followers to be peacemakers. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to reflect. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? First of all, where do you lack shalom in your own life? Where do you lack peace in your own life? Maybe it's in a relationship, or maybe it's a stressful area. Or where are you being a peace taker instead of a peacemaker in your life? Let me just give you a moment to pause on that. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? As we close today, I want to give you a challenge. And the challenge is this: ask God this week to open your eyes and your hearts to someone who needs some peace. I guarantee you they're all around. People who are struggling. People who are hurting. People who are in need. Ask the Holy Spirit how you can be a peacemaker in that situation or in those situations. You see, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Friends, the enemy is having a heyday. Having a heyday. Dividing persons from God. Dividing communities from each other. Dividing fellow followers of Jesus from one another.
Would you commit with me to be a peacemaker? Would you? Amen. All right, let's pray. And then we're going to invite the worship team to come forward. And lead us in closing song. Let's pray. Father God, we take your word very seriously. And as we read today, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Father, our desire is to be just that kind of person. Lord, as I said earlier, you prayed for our unity, and yet as we look around, there is anything but unity in the body of Christ today. Lord, I would pray for unity that begins with a relationship with Jesus. Lord, you came and you died to make us white as snow. You came and you died and you rose to give us peace with God. But that can't be the place we stop. Lord, you challenge us, you encourage us to be peacemakers, to be the type of people who look around in our world to see that it's broken, to see that people are hurting, in need, and to go about sowing seeds of peace. And so, Father, I challenge us as the Rockwood Church of God to be that kind of agent in our community. Lord, to be people of peace, people who move out into our neighborhoods and our world and bring the type of peace, the type of shalom that you're calling us all to, not simply an absence of conflict, but a wholeness that can only come through a relationship with you and with each other. So Lord, as we move out from this place today, help us move out with a new challenge. A challenge to be peacemakers, not peace takers. To be people of peace who help to restore wholeness to our communities and to our world. Lord, help us not to just do that in words, but do it in actions. To help people know that we serve the Prince of Peace. And in so doing, we are people of peace. Lord, make it so in our body today. Make it so in our communities as we move out. Make it so in your world, we pray in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you all stand as we sing the benediction song?